I and my twin brother lived at the care home for children. And, of course, on good behavior, they let you off at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Oh, my brother and I thought, you said, we ought to go downtown. He said, we got good behavior now. So he said, so we walked downtown. It's only a couple of miles. And sometime we were fortunate to go 4 miles south and hop the freight down, which we did many times, and then get off just before we got to the station. Then we go across the street to the show, Western. I liked Western, I liked the horses. But then this time, I said, you know, we ought to see what's up at the pawn shop, the White Elephant shop. And we saw that. I said, oh, look at that. And my brother said, I wonder how much that is. I said, well, we don't have any money. We ought to go and take a look. So we knew the people, the lady that had the shop, and looked up there, and she said, well, you want to see that? I said, how much is it? She says, oh, it's $4. I said, oh, we don't. Could you put a hold on that or something? So she said, for you, I'll do it. So I said, all right, I'll come back next week. So I came back, and there was a repairman that had a music store there, and he said, you thinking of playing the clarinet? I said, I've been listening to Benny Goodman. A friend of mine took me out to his house and he showed me about the clarinet a little bit. And I said, I blew his, and he said, I had a good tone. I said, well, I'm going to get an instrument. So I went down there, and I'd gotten a job in between mowing the band director's house, and he was a very fine conductor. So he said, how much do you want for this yard? I said, yard's very large, sir. I said, what's your price? He says, about 25 cents. He said, well, what do you got? I said, well, I had bought a clarinet. And I said, this fine repairman had a music shop there, and he said that if I would get that instrument, he'd overhaul it, and it looked like new. So I did that, and that was 7th grade. Then in 8th grade, I got a teacher, Bob Priest, which was a very fine clarinetist.
Now, you taught yourself to play?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got books. They had some books there, a beginning book that everybody starts on in the Rubank Elementary. So I studied the chart and everything. And then you listen to other people. I'd be watching them, see the different ones, how they're playing. How do you finger this and things like that? I'd ask questions about it. But this one fellow, he said, you have to come over to the house. I'll show you how we have to do this. So we do go over and play some easy duets. And finally, I start at the home. They gave me a special leadway. If I worked really hard, I could practice 3 or 4 hours a day. So I was doing that.
Did you want to be a band player? Big, swing band?
No, I wanted to play in a symphony. Hmm. And then my brother passed away about 9.5 years old. He was almost 10 years old. He got very sick all of a sudden. And when he put him in the ambulance, I asked the policeman, I said, what room would he be in? He says, I have it right now. It's room 21 at the home hospital. Now, you're a fast runner, I know. We always chase you to try to get you back here. He said, go as fast as you can, cut through the park, and you'll be right there. So I said, I'll get there. So I ran. They were there just a little bit ahead of me because they had to fill out papers. I climbed up the drain, sat on the cement thing outside the window, and tapped on the window, and then they came there, and they... Later on, I found out he was waiting for something. They said, he's waiting for something to die. He shouldn't be able to last like this. But he said, oh, the twins here. So now, he said, he went 15 minutes. He was in a coma, a big tank. He went 15 minutes and he was chuckling and everything. They said, never saw anything like that, but he said, is that I was making all kinds of faces and then a clarinet fingering. And then we had a thing where you raise your right hand and you just like you'd be number one, you'd be one of the best. And he had an arm way up and then went all the way down. He stayed up a long time. And all the way down, and they closed the window, you know, the blinds. So I was just sick of real empty inside. We felt each other, you know, it just really like telepathy. When you're in a home like that, many people don't consider you a decent person. And they used to, we'd be out working the yard and they would throw garbage and things. And my brother was so shy, but I had him exercising and trying to get in shape and things so he could defend himself, so he'd be stronger. But this one particular time, someone threw one of those green tomatoes, and they're hard, and it hit him. He picked that up, and he threw it. I mean, he hit the kid. And we sat down and laughed. I was laughing so hard. We all were. And some of these guys were tough guys. You know, you had to fight for your life in a place like that. Everybody's from a different background. We had 40 boys and 40 girls. So we learned a lot. I learned a lot. We all learned a lot. Then I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. So I stayed there until after the freshman year, and then I went. I had 6 foster homes after that, and it went good. When I got to high school, it was better. No one knew it. This one girl, she followed me home one day. She said later, after college, she told me, she said, "I'm the only one knew you lived at the home out there." And I said, she said, "Yeah." So she was treating me very nice, but it was just kind of business, you know. I just had to practice, you know. So they treat you pretty good. And then I got to be an athlete, track and things like that. I played good basketball too, but it just didn't have time for everything, you know. And so I just enjoyed myself, and they treated me very nice at the high school. The band was excellent, a state champion. Years ago, they were, when Team 39 was the last year of the national competition, they won it 9 years in a row, I think. Teacher I had was first chair there in that band, and it was a pleasure. But I liked Lafayette. I liked Lafayette Jefferson High School. And
is that the first teacher you ever had?
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, later I went to college and went to Vandercook College in Chicago. I didn't go to college right after, but I had to wait a year to get in shape. I worked 8 hours a day on my job, and I practiced 8 hours on the clarinet to get ready for that. Never was much of a sleeper. And the thing is, I went to school, and we had auditions. I got the third chair first. But then I got in this CYO, the championship CYO band. And I'm the only non-Catholic they ever let in. Bishop Shield came in. He said, "You should be in this band. You have good qualities. You have respect for people, and you do a lot of helping people." So he said, "We want you in there." Like after college, then, of course, came the big one. I taught 2 years after college at a really fine grade school band. High school band was excellent, too. Then after that, I wanted to play professionally. I just signed for 2 years. Then I went to New York, drove this coupe, and ran out of gas right outside of Lee. And the fellow that owned the garage was just closing his butt, did some extra work, 12:30 at night. He said, "Well, look, you can say our house, I and the wife will put you up here. You're out of gas and everything like that." He said, "You can park your car right here." I said, "Well, can you take care of it?" "Oh, yes, put it back here." And he said, "So here's the key to the front, the trunk and everything in the car." I said, "Gee, that'd be fine." I said, "You know, I'm just going into town." I said, "I was told to go." People on the bus said, "Go down to 42nd Street. There's a hotel. There's an old hotel, kind of a famous hotel, but I don't know if many people are there." So he said, "You get on the streetcar." I said, "Well, where is it?" He said, "Well, you have to go across the George Washington Bridge. He said, you got a foot locker and a big case for, I have my instruments in there. So I said, okay, I can do it. He said, well, be careful, like I said, now on the bus, don't talk to anybody because, you know, it might cause trouble or something. So that's what happened. I got into the hotel and told him I didn't have any money right away, so I saw him scrubbing the floor. I said, I'll scrub that floor for you. So I scrubbed it. It took a long time because it was kind of dirty. And I said, I can do that. I said, I can work here, do some work like that for a room. He said, what, are you out of college? I said, oh, yeah, I graduated from college a couple of years ago. But I said, job's a job to me. Got a job as a doorman on Park Avenue. We had celebrities there. I delivered to celebrities with the groceries. As a doorman, I ran errands, Marlena Dietrich, and then great ball player, Hank Greenberg.
Tell me about this chamber orchestra you founded.
Yes, I went around town trying to get some subbing job, but I wanted to see what's going on, and finally I wasn't getting the jobs there. I played in an orchestra called the New York Orchestra.
Okay, 1962, you meet somebody that's going to be important.
Yes. Leon Barzan was a famous conductor. He and Leonard Bernstein were trying for the New York Philharmonic. This fellow was a fine conductor, but with personality, it's just so important. Just, Bernstein would just had that, just a genius, and just, so he got the job, and then this other conductor married someone, Meriwether Post's daughter. So I finally learned a lot of players. I marked down the names. I go listen to orchestras and things. So I made up a list of the players I think would be great. A lot of Juilliard people, but then all kinds of musicians there, and some were just well-trained. There were stars in their own light, right? So I put everybody in order of their ability. I got the right people in there. They worked well together, and I didn't conduct naturally. I had good conductors. Stefan Bauer Mengelberg was a relative of the great Wilhelm Mengelberg, who was like in Toscanini's category. I played second clarinet and bass.
So when did this audition with Saul Kasten? Was that in New York?
Yes, I was in a doorman doing the job. I went to this church, and I was practicing, and Leonard Bernstein was looking at the R organ. He wanted to get an organ with that same kind of organ for his orchestra, you know, for his concert hall over there. So I was practicing. I didn't know if I was there. He always had the key to the church, so I came in and practiced when I wanted to. He asked our organist, he said, who is that playing up there? He said, oh, it's one of our members. And could I meet him? He said, oh, sit up. So he sent for me. I got done. I said, oh, Meister Bernstein. I said, gee, if I knew you were here, I'd play much softer. He said, oh, no, it sounds fine. He said, we need a bass clarinet. And I said, oh, by the New York Phil. I said, boy, that'd be quite a step up. He said, well, it pays well. And I said, I could use that. What do you do? I said, I work at the grocery store at the time. And then later on, I got the doorman job. I'd like to do it, but for recording date, I don't know. I think you should really pick someone who has played with the orchestra and who fits in with everybody right away. If anything happens to anybody, or an accident happens, it'd be my fault. And I said, I don't want to get into that, sir. I said, you need my teacher. He said, who's that? I said, Paul Holland. Well, he said, oh, really? He said, you know, I've got a list. They gave me a person's name I should get. I said, well, maybe I know him. So he said, let me get my book out. So he got it out. He said, Don Ambler. I said, well, that's me. He said, but I said, I think that's a risk. I said, if it were just a rehearsal, you know, or just a concert, I would do that. But I said, I don't think you should rely on me. You need Paul Holland. He said, first clarinetist, met second clarinetist, oboist, all different people thought you should be the one to get. I said, well, they've been doing that so long. They come and go, and they can play anything. And they've played with the orchestra. I said, you wouldn't want to mess up a recording. I think you should get my teacher. So I called my teacher later. I said, you recommended for this job. He said, well, I hope you took it. No. I said, only why? He said, I never thought of that, but I don't think anybody would do it. Well, I don't know. I think that I'll wait. But I said, if there's anything else where you just come in and play, you know, without a recording, till I got used to a group of players, but I said, I would do this. He said, what you should do, quit the job you got over there. First, look around for an audition. You go to any orchestra. He said, you know, they always come here, the conductors. He said, you want to get people like man in Denver. You want to get any orchestra that outside now. And you want to go get one that try very hard to get it set up so that you play everything for your instrument 2 times, 3 times with all the rehearsals, all the concerts. After you do that, you call my secretary. We'll fix it up for you here. I think there could be something open, maybe in that time. But he said, at least you get into this area, you move here, and get on the sub list. But you might be sooner than you think. But I said, oh, I'll do that. So I thought about it, kept thinking about it. And then along came the Denver audition. So I got hired there.
It was Kasten himself?
Yeah, Saul Kasten, yeah. He came to New York all the time for players. Saul Kasten hired me there and played the clarinet for him and the bass clarinet for him. And
so this is when? Was that?
62. Actually, they had auditioned. The last of the auditions were held the night before, but I was doing a doorman job. I went and called him up at the hotel there, and he said, well, you think you're better than the 6 people I have lined up that I'm going to pick from? I said, well, could you read who you have? And after you read it, I said, definitely. He said, you know, there's someone, they all asked, 6 people asked, if this man's here, we might as well forget about it. But he said, the name came up just a minute. So he looked, but I said, well, who is it? He said, Don Amber. Are you Don Amber? Yes. He said, well, they expected you to be there. I said, well, I'd like to audition for you. And he said, well, now, I've got to catch a plane to Denver. Go over and get your instrument, get your music. He said, get there as soon as you can. I've got to catch a plane. So I came there. He said, I got my instrument out in a hurry. And he had the contract fixed up before I finished playing. He said, well, now we have to talk a little about finances. Well, let's talk about the contract. He said, we pay this. I said, oh, that's so low. I said, I couldn't get myself in reeds for that, sir. So he put a big, I don't want to announce why he paid. Large amount there, I said. He said, now you can teach there. Well, I've been teaching. He said, well, they'll work it out. We'll get you in the schools and show you around. He said, just go out there. And he said, go to the music stores. And he said, you'll get a job there. All right. So that's what I did.